is Nightline.
Tonight, challenging abortion rights. The Supreme Court case that could end nearly five decades of precedent. What the justices said today.
I think we all should be alarmed.
We're on the ground with the activists we've been following for years.
Do you believe that will become reality, that Roe versus Wade will be overturned?
I do believe that will be reality.
And inside the Mississippi clinic at the heart of the case. Plus, Dr. Oz wants to go to Washington.
Pennsylvania needs a conservative who will put America first.
Running for the U.S. Senate as a Republican who says he can fix the country. But will the TV doctor's controversies come back to haunt him?
I don't get why you need to say this stuff because you know it's not true.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us. The Mississippi abortion law before the Supreme Court is expected to impact the right to choose throughout this country. And today, we got a real sense of how the justices might decide the case. The fate of Roe v. Wade. Here's ABC's Rachel Scott.
Come on, join the fight! Abortion is a human right!
Outside the Supreme Court today, thousands clashed over the fate of a woman's right to choose. While inside, nine justices heard arguments on the most consequential abortion case in 30 years. A case that could overturn Roe versus Wade and lead to severe new abortion restrictions or even ban it in about half the country.
The reason this issue's hard is that you can't accommodate both interests. You have to pick. That's the fundamental problem.
The court's two newest justices, who were appointed by former President Donald Trump, Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett, are the keys to the six-member conservative majority.
You could hear in real time the conservative majority on this court discussing that historic step of overturning Roe versus Wade, but they weren't talking about whether they should do it. They were talking about how they should do it. It felt like you could sense the walls crumbling. It was one of those moments, rare moments, where you knew history was happening.
The court hearing oral arguments on a Mississippi law that seeks to get rid of the federal precedent, which allows legal abortions up to about 6 months of pregnancy, and instead asks to give states the power to decide the cutoff point for abortions.
Given what you heard today, are you bracing for the Supreme Court to let this Mississippi law stand?
Yes, I'm bracing for the fact that it seemed as though there were six justices who were willing to consider, letting this law stand, and who were willing to entertain the idea that precedent does not always stand.
A recent ABC News Washington Post poll found 60% of Americans believe the Supreme Court should uphold Roe versus Wade.
Roe is a precedent that has been on the books for 50 years, several generations of Americans have come of age against the backdrop of Roe, with the understanding that because of Roe, they had the ability to choose, the timing of their reproductive lives.
Justice Sonia Sotomayor pointing out that Mississippi state legislators introduced the bill specifically because the Supreme Court now leans conservative.
Will this institution survive the stench that this creates in the public perception that the Constitution and its reading are just political acts? I don't see how it is possible.
The court also focusing on fetus viability. The Mississippi bill seeks to ban abortions after 15 weeks.
Why would 15 weeks be an inappropriate line? So viability, it seems to me, doesn't have anything to do with choice. But if it really is an issue about choice, why is 15 weeks not enough time?
First, the state has conceded that some women will not be able to obtain an abortion before 15 weeks, and this law will bar them from doing so.
Justice Amy Coney Barrett offering the idea that women are allowed in most states to give up their newborn babies as an alternative to abortion.
Justice Barrett seemed to say, given the ready availability of adoption today, is it really true that requiring a woman to carry a pregnancy to term necessarily impedes her, professional prospects? And that, I think, was a very striking line. It was impossible to hear the questions and not think about Justice Barrett and her own biography. She's a mother of seven. Two of her children are adopted. It did feel as though her personal experience may have figured somewhat in the sorts of questions that she posed.
Why didn't you address the safe haven laws, and why don't they matter?
I think they don't matter for a couple of reasons, Your Honor.
The attorney representing Mississippi's only abortion clinic, pointing out that pregnancy itself is not always a medically safe condition for women.
In particular, in Mississippi, those risks are alarmingly high. It's 75 times more dangerous to give birth in Mississippi than it is to have a pre-viability abortion, and those risks are disproportionately threatening the lives of women of color.
Now it's our turn.
Shannon Brewer is on the front line of that reality in Mississippi.
Guess what? When you make abortion illegal, it does not stop abortion.
She's the director of that one remaining abortion clinic in the state, Jackson Women's Health. They provide abortion services up to 16 weeks of pregnancy.
I still can't understand why this case is even taking place, because I think this has got to be the most unjust thing that has been done to women.
After working at the clinic for 20 years, Brewer knows that a law restricting abortion anywhere impacts women everywhere.
This is how the game is played. If they can get it passed in one place, they're going to get it passed in as many places as they can.
When a Texas law banning abortions after 6 weeks took effect this fall, she said her clinic was flooded with women from the Lone Star State.
The new Texas law is not deterring people from getting an abortion. We've almost doubled our capacity. Our phones are ringing nonstop because of this.
21-year-old Maddie was one of those women who called. She traveled 400 miles from her home in Texas to the clinic this fall after finding out she was pregnant at 10 weeks along.
What was the point when you realized that you wanted to go forward with an abortion procedure?
I would say it probably took between 2 and 3 minutes of thinking before I knew that was going to be my choice.
What do I think when a woman had to travel from Texas to Mississippi to the only abortion facility in the state to receive a legal abortion? That tells me that this country is moving backwards.
Kristen Honkins sees it differently. She's the president of the anti-abortion rights group Students for Life and has been working towards this moment for nearly 15 years.
The strategies that we laid out 15 years ago are now coming to fruition.
We first met her in 2015.
Today I speak to you pregnant with my fourth child, my first daughter. We are the pro-life generation.
We were with her the following year, here on the steps, when the Supreme Court took up a Texas law that put restrictions on how abortion clinics could operate.
My mission is to abolish abortion and to make abortion unthinkable and illegal.
And we talked with her again in 2018 as she voiced support for Brett Kavanaugh's Supreme Court nomination.
We see this battle as victory on its way.
Today, she says, they're closer than ever.
Do you believe that will become reality, that Roe versus Wade will be overturned?
I do believe that will be reality. The fact that the court even took up this case, it's a mere fact that they heard the arguments, means that there is a serious conversation happening on the court.
Did you feel defeated after hearing some of the arguments?
No, I felt alarmed, Rachel. I think we all should be alarmed. We're not surprised. We've seen 600 restrictions introduced just this last year alone. And we've also seen a court be remade during the last administration. We're seeing the real impact on the ground, but to hear it at our highest court in the land, I think really it proved to be incredibly distressing.
A decision on this case will not come until next year. In the meantime, abortion providers say they'll continue to fight to keep their doors open for all women.
in a matter of months, the Supreme Court could make a decision that could essentially say you can be equal in a certain set of states, and in about 26 states, you wouldn't be.
People always ask me that. The type of women that come in here is every woman. That's that, and that's the truth. The one thing that's in common for the majority of our patients is most are not the wealthy.
Our thanks to Rachel. Up next, TV's Dr. Oz. He's a household name. Is it enough to make it to the U.S. Senate?
Hey there, I'm Dylan Lewis, one of the hosts of Motley Fool Money. Each weekday on Motley Fool Money, we talk through the business news you need to know and the stories moving stocks on Wall Street. On weekends, we dive into the industries shaping tomorrow and host the experts, authors, and executives that understand them. Tune in for insights, a long-term perspective on investing, and of course, stock ideas, plenty of them. To quote a listener, it pays to listen. Check us out and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Dr. Oz has never shied from controversy, certainly not running from it, in his bid for the U.S. Senate. Here's ABC's senior White House correspondent, Mary Bruce.
Pennsylvania needs a conservative who will put America first.
The man once dubbed America's doctor is now hoping to become Pennsylvania's senator. Dr. Mehmet Oz, famed heart surgeon and talk show host, is running as a Republican in the key state's primary, saying he can heal what he describes as an ailing country made worse by the response to the pandemic.
We lost too many lives, too many jobs, and too many opportunities because Washington got it wrong. They took away our freedom without making us safer and tried to kill our spirit and our dignity.
He's leaning into his medical experience, but the TV doctor has become increasingly controversial. His judgment called into question for his past support of some treatments that lack rigorous medical proof.
He is Dr. Oz himself.
Last night, the political novice touting his record with conservative talk show host Sean Hannity.
I've taken on Big Pharma. I've gone to battle with Big Tech. I've gone against agrochem companies, the big ones, right? I've got scars to prove it.
You have one of the best known individuals in the medical world in the country suddenly joining a race in a state that he isn't necessarily even from, an immediate target for attacks. He becomes a megawatt star in a state that Republicans know is critical to their hopes of retaking the Senate.
Announcing his candidacy, Oz blasted the handling of the pandemic, saying it became an excuse for the government and elite thinkers who controlled the means of communication to suspend debate, targeting the arrogant, close-minded people in charge who shut down our businesses and took away our freedom.
It's a message that actually ties in the economy, jobs, inflationary concerns, supply chain worries, but also speaks to Republican voters who see this as a basic liberty issue and more of a culture war fight.
Oz was born in Cleveland, Ohio, the son of Turkish immigrants.
Step number one,
You gotta lift weights.
A renowned heart surgeon, in the early 2000s, he became a household name with regular appearances as a medical expert on the Oprah Winfrey Show.
We took the most popular cellulite treatments out there.
In 2009, he launched his own highly rated TV program, The Dr. Oz Show.
One, two, three.
He was also featured in the 2012 ABC News docuseries, NY Med, showcasing medical staff and patients at New York hospitals.
It's impossible to imagine Dr. Oz without the medium of television. That's what made him into who he is. This is a man who became quite famous for the television shows, for his media appearances, for him weighing in on the issues of the day, sometimes touting very controversial medical advances.
I've got the number one miracle in a bottle to burn your fat.
Oz has come under fire by some in the medical community for pushing what he called miracle products that promised rapid weight loss.
I want to be practical, I don't want to overpromise.
No, we got to be honest.
The scientific community is almost monolithic against you in terms of the efficacy of the three products that you called miracles.
In 2014, during a Senate hearing on false advertising in the diet industry, lawmakers took him to task.
I don't get why you need to say this stuff, because you know it's not true. So why, when you have this amazing megaphone and this amazing ability to communicate, why would you cheapen your show by saying things like that?
Well, if I could disagree about whether they work or not, and I'll move on to the issue of the words that I used. I'm not going to argue that it would pass FDA muster if it was a pharmaceutical drug seeking approval. But among the natural products that are out there, this is a product that has several clinical trials.
Oz eventually acknowledged that he needed to be more careful when characterizing the products.
I actually do personally believe in the items that I talk about in the show. I passionately study them. I recognize that oftentimes they don't have the scientific muster to present as fact. If you look deeper into the shows, I'll almost always mention something about the fact that these are crutches. They're designed for short-term support. You won't get there without diet and exercise.
In 2015, a group of doctors penned a letter to Columbia University urging the institution to remove Oz from its faculty, saying Dr. Oz has repeatedly shown disdain for science and for evidence-based medicine. Worst of all, he has manifested an egregious lack of integrity by promoting quack treatments and cures in the interest of personal financial gain.
You may have seen the headlines.
Oz fired back on his show.
Figuring out how to talk about your health and how to talk to you about it can be difficult. And there's been a backlash to my approach in some parts of the medical community. These doctors are criticizing me for promoting treatments and cures in the interest of personal financial gain. Something I tell you every day on this program, I never do.
Last year, at the beginning of the pandemic, Oz faced criticism when he suggested schools should reopen, even if it cost lives.
To get every child back into a school where they're safely being educated, being fed, and making the most out of their lives with a theoretical risk on the backside, it might be a trade-off some folks would consider.
Oz later apologized. We reached out to him for comment, but didn't immediately hear back. Looming over this Pennsylvania race, former President Trump. He and Oz have enjoyed a friendly relationship. Trump appointing Oz to serve on his presidential council for sport, fitness, and nutrition.
Donald Trump has not endorsed anyone in the Pennsylvania Senate race. However, we do know that Dr. Oz spoke with former President Trump ahead of his announcement, clearly courting that endorsement. There's no question that President Trump's endorsement in the Pennsylvania race will be meaningful, but with such high name ID, you could see Dr. Oz actually pulling ahead before he even gets an endorsement or doesn't from President Trump.
In the crowded race that could determine control of the Senate, Oz is now campaigning on a slew of conservative issues, from supporting the anti-abortion rights movement to stopping illegal immigration.
He has a persona that cuts both ways. He is extremely well-known, perhaps the best-known doctor in the country, but he's also been on the record in a whole lot of controversial ways over the years, all of which has become fodder for a competitive primary.
Our thanks to Mary. And finally tonight, actor Alec Baldwin breaking his silence, sitting down with our George Stephanopoulos. Baldwin was asked about that moment cinematographer Helena Hutchins was shot and killed while rehearsing a scene.
It wasn't in the script for the trigger to be pulled.
Well, the trigger wasn't pulled. I didn't pull the trigger.
So no. You never pulled the trigger?
No. I would never point a gun at anyone and pull a trigger at them, never.
He said he had no reason to suspect that the gun contained a live bullet. Alec Baldwin Unscripted airs tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern here on ABC and then streaming on Hulu. That's Nightline for this evening. Catch our full episodes on Hulu. We'll see you right back here same time tomorrow. Thanks for the company, America. Good night.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.